enjoyed the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Most of the congregation, good. If you didn't see it, go rent it. It's a fantastic movie. Of course, it's fantastic for many reasons. After all, it's an Indiana Jones movie. It's also a movie with Sean Connery in it, and I just love Sean Connery. He plays Indiana Jones's dad. He's an archaeologist, an historian, a scholar, in search of the Holy Grail. And towards the end of the movie, Indiana Jones has been tracking his father, who's been kidnapped and shot. And to save his father's life, he has to go get the Holy Grail. The grail, the chalice that was used in the Last Supper, and bring it out to heal his dad where his dad was shot. And so he follows his dad's notes, the directions that his dad had written in terms of research and study. He follows his dad's notes in a notebook. And with those notes, he makes it through several hazardous pathways towards the Holy Grail, including one tunnel where, if he hadn't been in bended prayer, his head would have been chopped off by a blade. In fact, several of the people who had gone before him had been decapitated by the blade. It's a gruesome sight. He's come out into this chasm, and between him and the other side, too far to jump, is a 1,000-foot chasm, and the Grail is in a room on the other side. And the directions in the book show a man leaping through the air and walking on nothing. And Indiana Jones stands there, hearing his dad dying in the room behind him, stands there and realizes that if he doesn't make a leap of faith and walk on air, his dad will die. And so he takes his foot and he sticks it out, and he closes his eyes, and he takes a step of faith. And as he steps out, instead of falling to his death, he steps out onto a ledge that was invisible because it was so painted or so designed that it merged into the background wall of the other side of the chasm. And it could not be seen from where he was standing. It was impossible for him to see with his eyes from where he had been standing. And all he had to go on was his dad's directions to take a step, a leap of faith. If he didn't do it, his dad would die. And Sean Connery's out there laying down, dying and saying, "Just believe, son, just believe." And he does. He doesn't just believe. He takes his belief and puts it into action and walks where it looks like there is no bridge, walks across the chasm. He then turns around, takes some sand and throws it back on the bridge, and it suddenly becomes visible to the eye. That's what the Christian life is like. We look around with our eyes and we see chasms. We see insurmountable odds. We see obstacle courses to our steps. But God calls us to step anyway. To step out in faith, to take a leap of faith, even one that is contrary to what our eyes and our senses tell us. We're called to step out in trust, trusting in our eternal Father, our eternal Mother, our eternal Creator, in God's grace to support us and carry us through. We have a proclamation in the church, my friends. I've learned it from Zan Holmes. Most of you who've done Disciple have seen Zan Holmes again and again and again on the videos. He's a fantastic preacher. He motivates you to be involved. He draws you into the preaching experience. And one of his proclamations that I enjoy, especially when it gets hard to take those steps of faith, is to be reminded that we serve a good God, a God who is always there, a God who is never far, and a God who is there with arms open wide when we leap out in faith. He catches us. And so Van Holmes has this way of drawing you in, and he does it by proclaiming God is good. And the people are invited to respond all the time. All right. I don't have an African American church here, Freddie. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Hey, you didn't even have to hear that second half of it. God is good.
All the time.
God is good.
And
all the time.
God is good.
When we face chasms, my friends, we are called to remember that all the time God is good. Even when we are confronted by the chasms. Even when we are confronted by impossibilities. That's what we have in today's story, both from Genesis and reiterated in the book of Hebrews. An impossibility. Abram and Sarah, they're old, friends. They're old. They're a lot older than you. It would take a miracle if just one of them was young and fertile. But they're both really senior citizens, around about 100, and incapable of having children together. They haven't had kids. She's barren, and he's an old curmudgeon. They've received some promises. They've received some directions. They've been obeying, and still no kids. And Abram, being Abram, whines and complains.
Yeah, I have no kids. I'm going to be succeeded in power by Eliezer of Damascus. Why?
Or as in Charlie Brown, wah, 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 wah. Whining. Whining and complaining. Kids? I see no kids. I'm old, she's old. You're kidding, God. You don't know what you're talking about. And God says, look up at the sky, see the stars. That's a lot of stars up there. You're going to have kids like that. Look at the seashore. See the sand? It's a lot of sand out there. You're going to have kids numbered like that. Oh, really? Really? Abram whines. Sarah laughs. I'm going to have kids. Are you kidding? Uh-huh. You're going to have kids. And I'm not kidding. Why did you laugh? It's a wonderful story, one of my favorite stories from Genesis, among many. It was impossible for them to have kids. But God promised, and God enabled it. They were facing an impossibility, but the good God of all creation made it possible. If you look at that account in the book of Hebrews, you notice, by faith, Abram did this, did this, did this, did this. By faith, they obeyed. They were in Ur of the Chaldees, and God said, get up and go. Leave your family, leave your father's house, and go. They obeyed. By faith, they went. They set forth, they went out, and went to the land that was promised. By faith, they stayed there. Living in tents for three generations. By faith, they looked forward to the promises that were given and not yet received. The promises of a nation. God's nation. And by faith, they received the miracle of procreation. Now, obey, set forth, stayed, and look forward. Those are all action verbs. Received is a passive verb, but to truly receive the gift of procreation, they then had to act on it, friends. They had to procreate, and they did, and had the child of promise, Isaac, a miracle provision, a miracle child, a miracle child. My friends, they acted in faith. They whined, they laughed at God, they laughed at the promise and whined and said, I don't see kids. And they did it more than once. They did it several times, including laughing in the face of God and lying to God and saying, I didn't laugh. And God said, yes, you did. I'll return in a year and you'll have a kid. They whined, they complained, they laughed. And God still provided because they acted in faith. They stepped out in faith. They made a leap of faith. They obeyed. They set out. They stayed in the promised land. They looked forward to what God had promised He would provide. And they acted in faith when they received the gift of procreation. Faith is an action. But faith is also a substance, a thing, and they had it. Even though their actions sometimes wavered, sometimes their obedience was halfway. Abram was supposed to leave Lot back in Ur of the Chaldees. He wasn't supposed to take his nephew with him. He was supposed to leave his family there. But he didn't. He brought him with him. Caused a lot of problems. Caused a lot of problems, including that whole story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, my friends. God can handle our whining, our wah-wah-wah-wah. God can handle it, but God won't handle disfaith. God can handle our whining and complaining and our laughing, but God will not deal with our refusal to live and act in faith. God is good, and all the time. If you believe that, then where is its substance? If you believe that, then where is it? Where is the faith? The first sentence, the first verse of the Hebrews reading today is where I want to finish this. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. When I see a reading, when I see a passage of Scripture that I don't like, its translation, if I think the translation is bad, I'll change it. I love the NRSV. It's a wonderful translation. But if it's wrong, if it's an erroneous translation, I feel free to take my marker and change it in the margin and write in what it's supposed to say. And here, we have an example of where the NRSV translators messed it up big time. That word, assurance, it's not assurance. The Greek word, the only word you really need to remember today if you're going to looking at vocabulary words is hypostasis. What a wonderful Greek word. Hypostasis. You notice I titled this sermon, The Hypostasis of Things Hoped For. Weird title. Hypostasis. Here's the definition. That which provides the basis for trust and reliance. Also, the essential or basic nature of anything. Hence, the word could be translated trust, confidence, assurance, substance, nature, essence, real being. Wow. Faith is the substance. Faith is the trust. Faith is the confidence. Faith is the nature. Faith is the foundation, the essential basic nature of things hoped for. Faith is the substance, the foundational nature of things hoped for. By hope, the New Testament doesn't mean wishy-washy, oh, I wish upon a star type thing. No, hope here is sure and solid hope. Faith is the substance, the foundational nature of things truly, really hoped for. And now the second problem with the translation. The NRSV renders the next word almost as badly as it renders the first one. The conviction of things not seen? Nuh-uh. That word is more likely evidence, proof, verification. I like proof. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the proof of things not seen. The proof of Indiana Jones' faith in his dad's directions was that he stepped out into the chasm. The proof of Abram and Sarah's faith in God was that they stepped out of Ur of the Chaldees. They went to the promised land. They lived there in tents. They looked forward to the coming of and the fulfillment of the promises that God had given them. Indeed, they died having not received all of them, having just a smidgen of the reception. The proof of its reality is that they acted in faith and had a child. Where is the substance of what you hope for? Where is the proof of that which you can't see? Where is your faith? Where is the substance of your faith today? If we're going to proclaim God is good and all the time, if we're going to make such a proclamation of faith, if we're going to make such a profession of faith, if we're going to proclaim that with our lips loudly today, then where is its substance? Do we live it? Do we take what we say and put it into action? Do we truly believe that God is good and act on it? Or are we couch potato Christians sitting doing nothing? Oom-ba-doom-ba-doom. Sorry, the church has no remote control. We are called to act in faith. We are called to obey, to set out, to stay, to look forward, and to receive the grace that we need to serve others, to make miracles happen in the lives of others, to speak the gospel, to live the gospel, to give a cup of water, to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, house the homeless, proclaim the saving faith of the church, to bring peace in this world, the only peace that will ever reign supreme, the peace of Christ. We are called to place our lives into action, to hang our lives on the line, to leap in faith into the chasm, to step out in faith as Abram and Sarah did, even though it seemed impossible, even though God seemed to be nuts. They acted, and so must we. We can't look back. They didn't look back. They could have gone back to Ur of the Chaldees. They didn't look back. They went forward. And we're called to go forward too. Even if the chasm seems deep, we're called to go forward. When I was a kid, I used to store my toys underneath the bed. And I used to push my Lego blocks and my Lincoln Logs and my Tinker Toys and my cars and my cowboy and Indian outfits and everything that I had, I would stick them up underneath the bed rather than on the shelf. And one day my dad asked me, why do you put all your junk underneath your bed instead of on these shelves that we provided for you? And I said, because if I load up the space underneath my bed, there won't be any room for monsters. And Dad, being somewhat mischievous, would reply, oh, that means that then they'll be on the bed with you. Well, he paid for that with many nightmares for me, trust me. What we fear, friends, is as empty as the monsters under the bed. What we fear in stepping out in faith looks important, looks strong, looks scary. Oh, a chasm of 1,000 feet would terrify me to death, friends. But in truth, in the things of this spiritual life, in the spiritual warfare that we live in, it's as empty as monsters under the bed. We're called to step out in faith and walk with the hands of God carrying us, to walk on the breath of God, to walk hand in hand with Jesus, to walk across the chasms of this life. Where is the substance? Where is the foundational essence? Where is the hypostasis of your faith? Do you live it? Is it right here? Or is it focused in the wrong direction? In the family of faith, we are called to proclaim that wonderful proclamation, to make that glorious affirmation that we have and do indeed serve a good God who is good all the time, even when we face the chasms. If we have the true substance of faith in us, if we have the proof of things unseen in us, then we can and will step out in faith and walk across the chasm. Give thanks and praise to God that God gives us grace to empower our faith, gives us grace to fill us up with that substance of faith, gives us grace to build the proof of faith in us. Give thanks and praise to God, and then step out in faith.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2007 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information, or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.